You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Critics of the Alberta government's revenue system share many concerns. They charge, above all, that the government is too reliant on the volatile oil and gas sector to fund essential public services. Recently, the Premier's own Economic Council expressed this concern. Greg Flanagan is a public finance economist based in Calgary and has taught at various universities and colleges across Alberta for the last 30 years. Greg is the author of a new report, Fixing What's Broken, Fair and Sustainable Solutions to Alberta's Revenue Problems. It was published by the Parkland Institute at the University of Alberta, and we've reached him this morning at his home in Calgary. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning.
Paint a picture of this this volatile revenue stream from oil and gas. How has this this revenue stream changed over time?
Well, it's a it's a resource industry, so it's a boom and bust cycle with the general economy, and probably overshadows the cycle in the general economy. So Alberta relying on that revenue, the public sector expenditures tend to follow that same cycle, and it's just kind of debilitating to our public services.
Well, let's talk about that a bit. With this precarious reliance on oil and gas revenue, what are the impacts on public service as a result?
Well, you know, as you mentioned, I've served in the public service in academe, and it seems it's always been, you know, crisis mode. We'd have cuts this year, and then there'd be exceptional money that we'd have to plan to spend to get it, and be up and down, just depending on what the revenues were like in the province. Of course, the big one was in the mid-90s or 94 on, where public services were cut 20% ostensibly, but on a compounding basis, probably more like 25%. And that really put the constraints on public services. We're still, in Alberta, suffering the consequences of those cuts now, particularly in health care.
And what about currently in the province? Are you still seeing the effects of that this year?
Well, we've had, the last couple of years been deficit financing. It's short-term deficit financing because there is a cyclical surplus, of course, with the oil revenues. And some of those oil revenues were put in a so-called sustainability fund to be used to cover deficits. And that, in terms of balancing a budget cyclically, that's actually a good idea. So that moderated, the cuts. When Premier Stelmach came in, he was much more moderate about balancing the public service needs with the revenue. So they ran deficits. But again, this year, there's cuts to education after a five-year agreement with the teachers that's causing teacher layoffs in an economy where your oil's selling for over $100 a barrel right now. So it kind of mystifies a lot of people, especially those not in the province, not used to it.
Well, added to that, Alberta has a very low level of corporate tax. How does that fit into this picture?
Well, the corporate tax, as you're probably aware, in Canada, we tend to be, beggaring our neighbor here, trying to get mobile capital to reside in the different jurisdictions. So one province cuts the tax, and then the others follow suit. Alberta's been a leader in the past, but now actually some of the other provinces have cut taxes before Alberta, and Alberta's following suit in the corporate sector. Now, corporate income taxes is a very difficult area. It's hard to pin down corporate taxes because, of course, some capital can't move. I mean, if the oil's in Alberta, so it's really at the margins where you're trying to attract capital by low corporate taxes. But we've got a number of problems with this. The first is that what you legislate for taxes can be very different than the effective rates, because there's just so many ways to get around corporate taxes. Internationally, transfer pricing is a big one, where you price things where there's low tax, materials in process in low tax jurisdictions, and then land them in a place with the higher taxes. But of course, the profit in the higher taxes is less because you paid more for the landed inputs. Little tricks like that. The other problem is that if we have a lot of foreign ownership in Canada, particularly American ownership, American corporations have to pay 35% tax. Canada's moved down with a joint federal and provincial tax closer to 25%. So those firms get a 25% credit for any tax they pay in Canada, but have to pay the 10% in the States. So basically, we're transferring that wealth. It's not benefiting those corporations. What it's doing is benefiting the revenue agency in the United States. And then I think we have to consider here that when you operate in Canada, you know, we have the public health care system, which is there for the workers of the corporations. Whereas in the United States, a corporation to attract any kind of reasonable labor must have a pretty good health plan, which costs them a lot of money in addition. So I've just called for here, because it's very hard to pin down corporate taxes and what they might be, just called that we need at least a national conference on corporate taxation, so we coordinated our policies within Canada, possibly an international conference in order to coordinate corporate taxes and take all these things into consideration and have appropriate corporate taxes so that corporations are paying a reasonable share of the, you know, public services that they use and enjoy in the jurisdictions they're in.
So it sounds like you're recommending in the report to increase corporate taxes. Are there any other recommendations that you make in terms of corporate tax and resource revenue?
Yeah, I'm just resource revenue. I'm not going there. That's such a big endeavor itself. I'm starting with the basic premise that I think resource revenues should be going into a fund. I don't mind the concept of using the income from a fund like that for ongoing operating expenditures, but using the capital, basically in Alberta, we're converting the non-renewable capital to cash, and that cash could be converted into kind of capital asset accounts like the Heritage Trust Fund has been, and then the income from that can benefit the current Albertans. Right now, we're paying for current public expenditures through the non-renewable resource revenue. So basically, we're eating our capital, and that's fine or good for the current generation of Albertans. And that, by that, I mean the current ones resident in Alberta paying Alberta tax, because they pay much lower tax in Alberta than they would anywhere else. But it doesn't benefit Alberta as an abstraction, you know, something for the long run. And people come and go in a given province, so it's really benefiting those current Albertans. Now, as far as the corporate tax, as I say, I'm recommending we do something nationally at least in order to get corporate taxes into line. I don't have any specific recommendations other than that there's no reason for Alberta to be the lowest. It could be at least the average in the country for now, and that would bring up corporate tax revenues as well.
Alberta also has a flat tax rate. What does that mean for government revenue, and who benefits from that?
Well, the flat tax came in around 2000, and I wrote a couple pieces on that showing the shifting of the tax burden in Alberta. It's a rare event, this flat tax concept. It's actually, economists would call it a single rate tax. So basically, you have an exemption amount of income, and after that, every dollar is taxed at 10% in Alberta. When I did that study, the legislation came in at 11, and it actually showed that the middle class group would pay more taxes under an 11% flat tax, and of course the very wealthy would really benefit by the lower tax. The low income, the working poor, if you like, would benefit because of the high exemption rate that was introduced. Subsequently, they dropped it to 10% so that everybody got a slight tax reduction. So the middle-income groups got some tax benefit, but the wealthy and up really got huge benefits, and that's dropped the income tax revenue to the government considerably. Again, the low incomes have been pretty good where you're not in the tax range, but if you compare it to British Columbia, for example, you need to be making about $80,000 in British Columbia before you would pay more tax than someone in Alberta at those incomes. Because, BC starts at 5%, goes to 7.7%, and goes up the income range, whereas people are paying that 10% throughout the range. But in BC, once you get past $100,000, you're paying, 14.7% tax. So, obviously, it's progressive tax on income, and that's been the really the tradition in economics, that we expect income taxes to be progressive, that people, as they get higher incomes, it means they're benefiting from all the social interactions and the public investments more than other people, and therefore they should pay a greater percentage of that income, not to mention that they can obviously afford it better than the lower incomes. So the perverse thing in Alberta with its huge tax advantages is that middle kind of 40, 50,000 incomes pay more income tax than Ontario or BC.
Another thing that's a little bit unique about Alberta is that it doesn't have a sales tax. What impact does this have?
That's right. And now it means that everything I just said is, when you look at the total tax payments, probably most Albertans would be at lower tax basis than other provinces, because you'd have to throw the sales tax into it. I'm recommending a sales tax because we aren't able to really capture tax as we could, 40, 50 years ago with income tax. Again, there's, like the corporate sector, there's too many ways to get around taxes, and some of those are good and can be argued for, and some aren't so good. But with a sales tax, if you've got the money and you're spending it on goods, you're going to pay it, and you're going to pay it in the jurisdiction where you're spending it. So, for example, some of these Albertans out here in BC on their waterfront cottages, they're going to be paying that sales tax in BC, and BC will get some revenue for their activities in BC, whereas in Alberta, people spending money, there's no tax money coming in, or very little, just on some specific goods coming into Alberta's revenue stream. I recognize, and it's always been an issue, but the regressivity, the inherent regressivity of a sales tax, because people with lower income spend more of their income on consumption goods than people with high incomes. On the other hand, I think we've really balanced that to a large degree with the GST, where low-income groups get rebates, as well as all the exemption items that are basic to everybody's needs, and there's no tax on those. So I'm recommending we come in with a GST-based, maybe a bit ironic to BC situation right now, or controversies. I'm recommending an HST right off the bat, so a 5% provincial sales tax with the 5% GST for a 10% HST. I argue for an HST because of the administrative efficiencies and obviously the greater revenue that actually goes to government purposes.
Now, Greg, the discussions on balancing budgets tend to focus on how to cut spending instead of increasing revenue. To you, what does a realistic approach to public debate about government finances look like?
Well, I think part of the political rhetoric in the country has kind of got us in a schizophrenic situation here, where we want these public services. Public health care is, almost universally desired and accepted here in Canada. We expect the government to invest in post-secondary education. We want the public services, and we should, and there's a lot of efficiencies, and as an economist, make all kinds of arguments for the public services. But we've been kind of led down this thing that taxes are bad and we don't want to pay taxes. Well, as citizens, we have to pay taxes to provide these public services, and we all benefit where those public services are provided most efficiently and effectively through the public service. So we really have to come to grips with that. So I'm really opposed to this negativity to taxes. I think we have to recognize that, particularly in Alberta, where it's, sold as such a huge advantage to Alberta that we don't have these taxes or have the same kind of tax levels as other provinces. So to me, we need to establish our public services, obviously within parameters, and this is what we want out of our public sector, and this is why we want it. And then we have to cost it, and then we have to build a tax system that fairly brings in the revenue to pay for those services. And then we don't have this continuous, we need to cut because we haven't got the revenue this week. Then in Alberta, if we had the proper tax system funding the proper public service sector, the oil revenues could be put away and could be thought in a different way. And then, as I said earlier, the income from that could be part of the revenue stream to benefit Albertans.
Well, it's been great talking with you this morning, Gregor. Really interesting to learn about a different way to look at revenues and taxes.
Well, thanks for calling, and hope the Canucks win the next one.
All right. Thanks for that. I've been speaking with Greg Flanagan. Greg's a public finance economist based in Calgary, and he's the author of the new report, Fixing What's Broken: Fair and Sustainable Solutions to Alberta's Revenue Problems. If you'd like to access the report, you can visit the website of its publisher, the Parkland Institute, at parklandinstitute.ca.